either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa qala lifityanihi ja'alu bida'atahum fi rihalihim la'allahum ya'rifunaha idhan qalabu ila ahlihim la'allahum yarji'un. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing with Surah Yusuf, verse number 62, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam said to the guards, "Ij'alu bida'atahum fi rihalihim," return back the funds and discreetly put them back in the baggage of the brothers that came. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَنْ قَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ, so that when they return, they find out that the merchandise, everything, food stock, whatever that they required was given to them completely free of charge. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, this would give them the impetus to return back and to come back to Egypt and to speak to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ, when they returned back to their father towards Kanaan, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا, and they said to the father, مُنِعَ مِنَّ الْكَيْلِ, that we have been deprived from one amount of food or corn, whatever it was at that time. فَأَرْسِلْ مَعْنَا أَخَانَا, send with us our brother, نَكْتَلْ, so that the right measure is given to us. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, and we will look after our brother Binyamin. So all of us, we went, we got enough food, one camel load. So one brother, if Binyamin came, we would also have something that is extra. Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam said something amazing to them. قَالَ هَلْ آمَنُوكُمْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا كَمَا أَمِنْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And he said to the children that, do you want me to trust you for Binyamin like how I trusted you before for Yusuf, his own brother? Is that what you are asking me? That I should send you now Binyamin? فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. And then he said, look, Allah is the one who is the protector, وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ, he is the most merciful from all those that are merciful. Allah is Arham. Here, when we look into the life of this great Nabi, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, in fact, what happens is that generally when we view the life of a Nabi, we know that their lives are filled with great trials and tribulations, that they go through intense difficulty because of the mission that is given to them. And so generally what we picture about a prophet is that they are tested, and tested in what? What is the difficulty that they face? Generally, the difficulty that we think of is that the people rejected the revelation, or the people rejected that Nabi of the time to be a Nabi, and that was the difficulty they faced. Or sometimes the people themselves had taken it upon themselves that we will punish this man for preaching to us, Aliyadhu Billah. Some went as far as plotting to kill and assassinating Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And so these are the few things that we generally have in the mind, that this is how a Nabi will go through in his life, you know, the difficult moments, what we call azmaish, trials and tribulations for a Nabi. Actually, that is not the case all the time, my respected brothers. In the case of Ya'qub alayhi salam, the difficulty that he went through is completely different. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned that, O Nabi of Allah, who are those in the world that go through the most difficult test? Allah's Nabi said, Al-Anbiya fal-Anbiya, the messengers, the prophets. For them, their lives are very, very hard, very difficult. They go through intense difficulty. They are tested all the time. The test of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wassalam was not towards the fact that people had rejected him as being the Nabi of Allah, but he was tested by his own children. He was tested by his own children. And so understand that a Nabi goes through this pressure also, this difficulty, which 95% of the Muslim community today is facing. You see, all these children right now that are young, mashallah, very good, they are all easy to handle. Until they are 12, they are Junaid Baghdadi. They come to the masjid even with pagri. What are they? They will come to the masjid even with pagri. You know, they say, my son is very good. Arey bhai, Allah keep him like that. Don't take me wrong. We preach, Allah give your children salahiyat. Alhamdulillah. But the real difficulty is going to come when you see them growing up in their teens. When he is 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. These are the years that the parents are really grinded, really grinded. And ask me, my respected brothers and elders, being an imam, alhamdulillah, you know, and we have to talk to many people, many youth, many children, many parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the people of iman. But the most difficult patch in life is when parents are given disobedient children. This is mustaqil adab. What is it? You are a millionaire, you are a billionaire, you have a flashy car, you have a beautiful bungalow, you have a lovely wife, you have everything. But when your children, oh, Allah save us from this, my respect. A person can lose £1 million. That is easy to swallow. A person can move from a palace to a hut. That is easy to swallow. Lekin ye aulaad ka jo dukh hai na, Allah kisi ko na de. Bahut takleef wala, dard wala, bahut takleef, very painful. Allah save us. Allah save this ummah. Allah save my children, your children. Because of the current climate and how we are facing things and what is happening overall and what we, and the challenges that we are facing. Very, very difficult, my brothers. This is the same takleef that was given to a Nabi of Allah in the Quran, so the Ummah realizes also that people before you had to struggle in life also. Yaqub alayhi salam's children. Very difficult, my respected brothers. Despite the fact that they were the children of a Nabi. Can you imagine that? They were the children of a Nabi, but this difficulty they went through. So in the Quran you will find that challenges are very different for a Nabi. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years giving da'wat. Yesterday I was reading a kitab, Adam alayhi salam. Who? Adam alayhi salam. His son, Qabil, kills Habil. Look at the pain given to his father. Qabil kills Habil. And who is Adam alayhi salam? It comes in some of the riwayat that he did Hajj how many times? How many times? Arif bhai, any guess? Have a quick guess. Kuch bole? 100? Okay. Idris? Arey yaar. You want to be rich very quick, eh, Idris? Kya yaar? Few thousand? Anything? Harun? A quick guess? 500. Close. 700 Hajj. Kitne Hajj? 700 Hajj done by who? Your father, my father, Adam alayhi salam. And this 700, of course, was very different for a Nabi because they were people of miracles. What were they? They were people of when they would walk also. It was quick for them to get to Makkah Mukarramah. Where was it? But they respected that zone of Makkah and they did Hajj. However, it was explained to him in the company of Jibreel alayhi salam. So he would frequently visit Makkah Mukarramah. Khair, this is a different topic. Qabil kills his son Habil. Nuh alayhi salam. 900 years of da'wat. You know, when you read the Quran and Surah Nuh, you can't stop but crying. You can't stop but crying when you read Surah Nuh. You know, when you read Surah Nuh, this man comes in front of you. Rabbi inni da'autu qawmi layla wa nahara. Oh my Allah, you know, what else do you want me to do? You know, these people are mocking me. And they put fingers in their ears. They're doing ishara with me, oh Allah. No, Allah had mercy on him. Allah says, okay, nu bahut kar liya. Stop. Can you imagine Allah's anger? Can you imagine Allah's anger? Nu, stop. Don't worry. Let me take over now. Let me take over now, nu. That's it. His beloved son. You know, a father loves his son. Do you know the ulama have said that the most difficult burden, boj that a father can lift is the janazah of his son. Do you know that? The most difficult burden, the boj, the father can lift anything, but you tell him to lift the janazah of his son, he can't do it. Most difficult. Look how a Nabi is tested. My Nabi and your Nabi, all of his children, Allah's Nabi lifted their janazah in his lifetime. Allahu Akbar. Sivai Bibi Fatima. Otherwise all the janazahs. He loved his son, you know, Nuh alayhi salam. It's not you and I that we love our children. Nuh alayhi salam was a human being. Anbiya are humans. They have the same emotions. They got married. They would eat, they were hungry, they had feelings, they would perspire, they would need sleep, they were tired. Sometimes, you know, if something happened, it would affect them. They had headaches, they had fever, everything. They were humans. He loved his son. And he explained to his son, Beta, don't disobey your father. Don't disobey me. Look at that, I am directly a Nabi to you as well as a father. You have to listen to me. very soon destruction will come upon this entire community. The son started to laugh. Today, our children, Allahu Akbar, they also laugh like that to the parents. So he started to laugh. He says, Abbaji, I can't see water around me for miles here. And it was landlocked, of course, so I can't see water. Where is the ocean? Pani aayega to kahan se aayega? Akal. If water comes, where will the water come from? The same thing, you know. If Yajuj Majuj comes out, where do they come out from? Akal. His akal does not accept it, you know. Allahu Akbar. So where is the water? My akal is saying. Umar Farooq is a lifesaver here all the time. You know, just picks up everything at the right time. On Fridays, I have to dress up well, because otherwise Umar Farooq says, Mauli Sahab, your buttons were not closed. Your this was not closed. Your socks were looking 2 days old. So, you know, I have to be very careful with Umar Farooq. But, you know, I like him. You know, it's nice. He keeps you up to date. MashaAllah. Allah bless you all. But, main kya baat kar raha tha? Where was I? Huh? Akal, akal. And he is now talking with his akal, you know, my brains, my intelligence, intellect. Dad, do I see water? You know, people are calling you, aliyadhu billah, I say this, what they said to a great Nabi, a madman, majnoon. Dad, people are calling you a madman. You're mad, Abba. You've lost the plot. Abba, you've lost the plot. Where is water? What are you doing? Why do you construct this ark? This boat, what is it? What is it going to do? My son, this is the command of Allah. Abba, what is the matter? Where is water? And then he says, okay, look, even if I believe you and if water comes, I'm young, Dad. You know what? I'll run up this mountain, get to the peak of the mountain. The water can't reach me. I'll be too high. Showing off his, you know, youth. The prowess of his youth, fakhr. I will go on top. And it started. Subhanallah. The earth unplugged itself. The plug was pulled by Jibreel. They didn't even know, and the water started gushing out. And it started coming. And it went up. And the father is looking, you know, he loves his son. Beta, my son, I told you. And the final words, La asim al yawma min amri Allahi illa mar rahim. Oh my son, only if you had listened to your father. Nobody can save you today except for the mercy of Allah. These were the last words. Wa hala baynahum al mawj. And this wave came, this huge tsunami. Nobody has seen a wave as huge as the time of Nuh alayhi salam, that it swallowed the sun right from the top, put him down, fakana min al mughraqin, and he drowned. He was gone. And so this is the difficulty that anbiya go through. This is how a nabi is also tested. They are tested by their children. That is why our children have to be very, very close to us. And we need to make sure that there is a relationship between parents and the children. The children must trust the father and the mother. Whatever the parents are saying, it's there for their good only. Nowadays, the stories that you hear, Allah save us. You know, your own children report the parents to the father. The father is put in the cell for 18 hours. Let alone the father, the mother is put in the cell for 18 hours. Allegations are put on the, not stepfather, mother, biological father and mother. Can you imagine that? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Subhanallah. You know, there was a young Allah give tawfiq to the youth. But how many youth are here? How many youth want to listen to the bayan? Nobody. So what happens, naturally, when the youth are not here, they've got no understanding of Islam, they've got no fear of Allah, they've got no fear of Allah, because hidayat has not come to them. Hidayat comes with sacrifice. MashaAllah, I've seen a few guys that sit with me here, and I was saying this to my wife, that alhamdulillah, I have people who sit in dars that have been sitting with me from 1999. From 1999. Allah give them jazai khair. Allahu Akbar. From 2000 when this masjid opened up. Beginning atit. People have been sitting. But look at that, my respected brothers. When you don't take in the Quran and the teachings of Allah and His Rasul, how on earth are you going to show respect to your parents? How on earth are you going to learn about Iman and Islam when there is nothing out there that you have opened up for you to benefit from? It doesn't work. Jibreel is not going to come and, you know, just touch you in the night and say, MashaAllah, nek ban jao, done. It doesn't work that way. And our youth are not here. Our youth are somewhere else. They see other things in YouTube and their mobile phone. So really we as an ummah, we are losing. I get a lot of people when we do interfaith work and they say, how is the Muslim community with the youth? Are you losing your youth because we have lost our youth? I said, we are at the brink of losing our youth. We are at the brink of losing our youth. Ab kya kare? Kya kare? What do you want people to do? Go to the houses and say, please come back. Kya kare? Allahu Akbar. You know, there is this young boy who was working and he got a very good job and he was living with his wife and kids. And the parents, the mother would come and see the child now and then she would come and visit. Maathi wo bichari. So when he got a job, so he said to the mother, Amma, you know, I'm so happy, I've got a good job and, you know, I'm getting a good wage. So for that, I want to treat you, Ammi. I want to treat you. So the mother says, no, beta, why do you want to treat me? My duas are with you. He goes, no, I want to treat you. Let me buy something for you, please. And he was adamant. He says, okay. So what do you want? He goes, Mama, let me take you to a shop, a boutique, you know, where ladies have their dresses and this and that. So he took Amma to this shop, to this boutique, and she liked one abaya, one jabba. So he said that, Amma, choose anything. Don't worry about the price, really. Please take anything you want. So the mother said, Chalo, I want this abaya if you're insisting. So he took the abaya, he says, Ammi, how do I know it will look good on you right now? I want you to put it on now in the shop. So he goes, Beta, leave it. You know, I will put it on at home. He goes, no, ma. Put it on now, please. So she says, okay, to make you happy. So she went inside the dressing room, whatever. And she put on the abaya. And she took a bit long. So the son came and says, Amma, are you okay? Is everything okay? She goes, beta, everything is okay. She says, Ma, you're taking a bit long, you okay? He goes, yeah, I'm okay, I'm just struggling. She goes, Amma, come out. So, bichari, she's so old and she was finding it difficult to close the buttons. What was it? She was finding it difficult to close the buttons. When the son saw that my mother is struggling to close the buttons, he started to cry. And he started to remember. And he ran to the mother and he kissed the hands of the mother. And he says, Amma, these are the same hands that would dress me, that would caress me, that would kiss me, that would look after me, that would give me food, that would hold my hands. These are the very same hands. Amma, your hands are very valuable. Your hands are very, very valuable. And he started kissing the mother. He says, Amma, let me do this for you. Subhanallah. So you also get children that are like that. Allahu Akbar. If we lose our youth, my respected brothers and elders, we have lost Islam in UK. Ye koi masjid mujhe aur aapko kaam aane wali nahi hai. Koi bhi nahi. Masjid Umar ho, Jamia Masjid ho. We lose our youth, we have, but it's end. And everything is structured in that way. Everything out there is structured in that way. The only thing that is going to save us is when we actually understand the importance of this wiring to come and to come and to constantly listen and to understand what is right and to understand what is wrong. That is the only way. Yaqub alayhi salam's children disobeyed him. They wanted to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at the taklif given. For decades, he did not know where my son Yusuf is. But the one sabak that we learn from his story is that he never broke ties with his children. He never said, I'm disowning you. He never said that. He always kept them with them. That aaj nahi to kal, aaj nahi to kal, hidayat will come. And this is one important lesson. That you never ever close the doors for your children that, okay, get out, bas. No, no, you keep them. You keep them as much as you can until, of course, things are very different and we need to consult the Muftiyan-e-Izam, that what is the issue here. Otherwise, my respected brothers and elders, when we see, it's very, very difficult. Now look at the test of this great Nabi Yaqub. When 30 years ago, 40 years ago, they took Yusuf alayhi salam and he's vanished. Now they are coming to him and saying, now give us Binyamin. Wa inna lahu lahafidhun, and we will look after him. Look at the test put forward to this Nabi. Zara sochi. It's like saying that, you know what, Dad, I've passed my test, mashallah. Dad's got a very expensive car. Dad, you know what? I'll drive very slow. Don't worry. Abba, give me your car keys. Abba, give me your car keys. And he's pressuring Abba. And Abba gives him the car keys. He's got the license. Shalom. I'm not sure if he's insured or not. But let's say he's taken the car. And now he doesn't respect what the father told him and he's driving so fast that he crashes the car is right off, Allah saved him, but the car was not saved. He was saved, but the car was not saved. And then he comes to Dad and says, oh sorry, you know, I don't know what happened, this and that, gives excuses. And then after a few years, the same son comes again, Abba, you've got another car, trust me this time, give me that car. Will he give him that car? No way. You took Yusuf and now you want Binyamin. You want Binyamin now. Don't you know that Allah's Nabi has said that a man is not stung twice by the same hole, by the same hole. You know, you put your finger in this hole and something that's poisonous might bite you. And then for the second time you want to put your finger inside, then you are crazy. So a believer is not stung from the same hole two times. He's seen what happened to my son and he said, no, no. I will not allow Binyamin to come with you. This is what he said. And then look at his love for Allah and his aqidah of Allah. He said that you told me the same thing, that you are going to protect him. But then his iman upon Allah. He said, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Actually, hifazat is only done by Allah, wa huwa arhamur rahimin. This ayat of the Quran should be read upon people who are departing from you. If they go somewhere, then you say to them, by you're going suffer, then read the dua, or you make dua for them. Fallahu khayrun hafidha, wa huwa arhamur rahimin. This dua is very, very mujarrab, very powerful, that when a person goes, inshallah, if you read this dua, your suffer is made of khair, your suffer is made of khair. These are things that are very, very important. Just, inshallah, a few ahadith that I have written. How to manage, you know, your life as a father, as a mother, and simple things that we need to do for giving our children the right upbringing. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned. سُئِلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنِ الْكَبَائِرِ, that what are the major sins? Now, it's amazing. Allah's Nabi has said major sins. He mentioned two things. فَقَالَ الْإِشْرَاقُ بِاللَّهِ, that to do shirk with Allah. وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, and then he said, with shirk with Allah, and then second is to disobey your parents. Now, there are two things here. Sometimes we just expect the children to be pious. Actually, the parents also have to be pious. The parents also have to be. That is why Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, Allah, make me from those who will perform prayers, and also my zurriyat should perform prayers. Parents have to be pious. Because if the parents are pious, then obedience to the parents becomes farz. But if the parents are not pious, then how, even if he is to obey the parents are not going to put him on the right track. But alhamdulillah, as people of Iman, when parents are on the right track, it is so important for a person to obey the parents. Why? What happens is that for a person to live in this dunya, the first thing is that he must be connected with Allah to be on the right track. To be on the right track, connected to Allah. If you're not connected to Allah, and if you're not proud of who you are, then what's the use? You see, you get two types of children who go to secondary school and who go to colleges. Two types of children. There is one Muslim girl that is wearing a scarf and that is wearing an abaya, and outwardly, you know, she is a Muslima. And she sees another girl that is wearing jeans, tight t-shirt, no scarf, and she's put on a lot of makeup. In fact, she's put on so much makeup that she looks fake. And this girl looks at the other girl, and in her mind she's thinking, oh, look at her. Look at the freedom she's got. How lucky she is. She doesn't have to wear a scarf. She's wearing jeans. She's wearing a t-shirt. She can talk to whoever she wants. Her father, mother don't check her mobile phone. But I can't do any of these things because I am a Muslim. Because I am a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. That is one girl. And her mindset is totally wrong. Another Muslim lady looks at the same girl. And she looks at that girl and she says, Alhamdulillah, Allah has not put me in that position. That is called valuing yourself and valuing the faith that Allah has given you. When you have this attitude, then you can go to a college. Then you can go to university. Then you can go to a secondary school. Nothing will happen to you. But if your attitude is that, oh, look at that girl, the first example, then for you to study is very difficult. That lady who thinks that alhamdulillah, look at her and look at me, she needs to show off her body. She needs to wear jeans. She needs to wear a t-shirt. She needs to put makeup for her to get attention of the other people around her. I don't need to do anything. I've got my abaya. I've got my scarf. I've got my iman. And I've got the attention of my Allah. I've got the attention of my Allah. When that girl has this thinking, this is positive thinking. This is what we want. This means that your foundation is very strong. If a child has got a beard and a topi and a kurta and he's in this educational environment and he looks at somebody going out on a Friday and he says, you know, we went Friday, we did this, we did that, we enjoyed this. Oh, but I can't enjoy like you. My dad restricts me by 9. I have to be at home. If I go out, he'll ring me 10 times. Where are you? And one is that he is complaining of the fact that what situation he is in. And another child is that person who says, Ya Allah, Allah, it is your shukr you've given me parents that love me. Allah, it is your shukr that you've given me parents that ring me 10 times. Allah, we do shukr to you that you have given us parents that are concerned. Beta, read your fajr namaz. They are not just looking at Leicester. They are looking at Jannatul Firdaus. They want me to get there. This thinking we need to put in our children. And this parents also have to do. We all have to do, my respected brothers and elders. So, a few things we do very, very quickly. Ab thake hue ho, main zara bata do. The first thing Allah's Nabi has said, إِذَا أَفْصَحَ أَوْلَادَكُمْ فَعَلِّمُوهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That when your child learns how to speak, the first words that he should utter is لا إله إلا الله. All the time read in front of him, beta, say la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. And glad tidings when the child, the first words that come out, record it and say these are the first words and he said la ilaha illallah. Number two, muru awladakum bis salah wahum abna'u sab'i sinin. Shariat says by 7 years of age, they should all be reading namaz. By 7, they should all be reading namaz. 7, get into the habit. When you go home, the father should not say, bhai, have you done your homework? Are bhai, more than homework, you must first say, have you read your maghrib? Have you read your fajr? Have you read your asr? And get married to women who are intelligent. What is it? Get married to women who are intelligent, who have fikr of deen. Some women, forgive me, you know, and some men also, the same, men and women. They don't have that understanding, you know, for them everything is just a casual living. Intelligent woman will make your child Junaid Baghdadi. Intelligent woman. Subhanallah. She will take the burden off from you. So my respected brothers, Allah's Nabi said, 7 years of age, then he must be now reading namaz. This is all very, very important. And then Allah's Nabi said, "Adibu awladakum ala thalasi khisal." From a very young age, before they reach teens, before they reach in their teens, put a lot of pressure and effort. That is why when teachers actually teach, they should not just teach the book. They should do a lot of nasiha. What should they do? Nasiha. Nasiha is very important. So three things you have to teach your children. Hubbu nabiyyikum. The love of Rasulullah. All the time enforcing them the importance of loving Rasulullah. Because when they go out, they will meet all sorts of people. And number two, وَحُبُّ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. That means to love the Ahle Bayt, the family of Rasulullah and Sahaba. To love the Sahaba. وَتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. And they must also have the love for the Quran. These are a few things, basics, which are very, very important and we need to start. Also, my respected brothers and elders, take care of the fact that where they are being educated. Meri rai to ye hai, my opinion only, it's not a verse of the Quran. So you don't have to, you know, you can differ with me, it's not a problem. But try to send them to an Islamic school. What is it? Try to send them to an Islamic school. Fees ho, so fees ho. So fees ho, so fees ho, give. But try to send them to an Islamic school. Look, children who want to study, whether they are in Oxford or whether they are in Crown Hills, they will study. People who want to study. People who don't want to study, they will not study even if you put them in Cambridge. People who are adamant they want to do something, they will do it. Inshallah. And we need more and more Islamic schools, inshallah, with the right people, with mature teachers. Sometimes you'll find even the teachers have a problem with the parents. And these are, you know, things that happen. But look after the children. These are things that are very, very important. Bas, baat khatam kar raha hu. Allah's Nabi said, four things that if given to a person in this world, then he's a man of great fortune. أَن تَكُونَ زَوْجَتَهُ صَالِحًا. That a man is given a pious wife. وَأَوْلَادُهُ أَبْرَار. And a man who's given a pious wife and children that are pious. Allah give us a pious wife. Bole ameen. Zor se bolo. And Allah give us pious children. Bole ameen. وَخُلَتَاءُهُ صَالِحِينَ. And his friends are pious. Bole ameen. Inshallah, Allah give us pious friends. وَأَن يَكُونَ رِزْقَهُ فِي بَلَدِهِ. And Allah has given him a job not far from his house in his own locality in the city of Leicester. MashaAllah, that Allah has given him a job. He doesn't have to travel far. Alhamdulillah. These four things are great ni'mah. These four things are great ni'mah. So my respected brothers, more and more people we need to make gushk and we need to make an effort. Come and listen to these gatherings. InshaAllah, when we listen, we will understand, we will know the importance of respecting people, respecting parents. We will know the importance of tawheed. And this will help us when we go in the outside world. Otherwise, subhanallah, it will be very, very difficult. Very difficult. You know, if you are in the ocean somewhere, and if you don't know how to swim, it's very difficult. And if you don't have the right protective gear, if something happens, it is very difficult also. So Islam, our deen, is there to protect us from all the difficulties that are around us. That is why Yaqub alayhi salam faced these difficulties that now they want Binyamin to come. So inshallah we will see what happens and the conditions that Yaqub alayhi salam puts upon the children if he wants to release Binyamin. That we will continue in our next session. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين